and you've been so good. You've been so good. This won't hurt you. Even though it's screaming, poison, I'm going to kill you. No, this will be fine. And I took that one bite, and off I was. Back to 100 pounds over or more, and the same cycle again. So I had to bust that lie. And the lie is that, and I'm not standing up in and telling you I will never compulsively eat again, or that I will never have sugar again, because I don't know that. But what I am going to stand up here and tell you is that my truth is that if I do, I create that addiction, and I will die, because I eat, I am a down and dirty, eat out of the trash, eat off the floor, steal it, lie about it, hide it, compulsive eater. And my disease has been working for 26 and a half years. So if I choose to pick up again, I don't have any illusions about what that's going to look like. And that's my truth today. And that has really, really helped me to stay on the path of recovery. Because, and it says somewhere in the book, and I'm not going to quote it directly because I don't remember the book word for word, but something to the effect that we have to let go of any lurking notion that somehow, someday, I will be able to control and enjoy my eating. My truth, standing here today, I'm telling you, is that I will never be able to do that. Now, that doesn't mean I don't enjoy my abstinent food, and it doesn't mean that it's not weighed and measured, so in that sense, it's kind of controlled in that, you know, I eat what I'm supposed to eat, and but the minute I deviate, I'm gone. So that's a truth for me, and I share that because it's something that I really struggled with for a long time, because I thought I should be able to control my eating, right? I knew I couldn't, but I thought I should, and I'm just going to find the way that I can until I figure out how I can control it, because I should. Because not being able to control it means I'm weak. Or, you know, I go right back to those lies that I'm weak and I'm not good enough and I don't, you know, I have this moral defect or whatever it is. And it's not true. I have cancer. I have compulsive eating. It's a disease. And that's my truth. And so today, I don't have any lurking notion that I can go out there and eat a little bit. First of all, I don't want to eat a little bit. I don't know about you people, but I have never wanted to have a little bit, ever. People say, oh, I wish I could just have one. No, not me. I've never wished I could have one. I wish I could have all of them and just no consequences. But I have no desire to have one, none at all. And that's my truth, I know that. But if I'm still trying to think I should be able to have one and be fine, then I'm not in recovery and I'm not getting better. I'm staying sick. So those are really important truths for me. And today I can stand here and say to you, those are my truths. I'm a compulsive eater. I will always be a compulsive eater. I am addicted to sugar and flour and quantity. And when I deviate from my food plan, which takes care of those things, then I am off and running. And that is my truth. Now, I'm abstinent for a long time. I can tell you today, another truth of mine is I don't care if I ever eat sugar and flour again. I don't think about it. I don't want it. I have a husband who eats it. It's in the house. I don't care about it. I don't crave it. I don't want it. Absolutely, I'm telling you, that is my truth today. So if you stay abstinent long enough, you really can. That wasn't my truth in my first year or my second year. And even in my early abstinence, I ate emotionally. It's like I have to have the perfect meal. And oh my God, those poor waiters and waitresses who I screamed at because they brought it with something on there that I'm not supposed to have. I'm like, but you didn't tell me it was on there, you know? And because it was so important. I had to have the perfect meal. And so I would learn things like the truth, which is there's another meal coming. Or no one ever died between lunch and dinner. I didn't know that. Are you sure people don't die between lunch and dinner? Come on, really? Because, you know, my head said, if I don't eat right now, I'm going to die. But it's not true. It's not true. I'm here to tell you. It's not true. I have not died. And I've had breakfast to lunch and lunch to dinner for 26 years, 6 months, and a few weeks. And I have not died yet. So these are the lies that I have to bust. So, you know, I really, really appreciate that today it's not about the food. When I first got here or when I was in the food, it was so about the food. I mean, it's ridiculous to say to somebody with a week, it's not about the food. It's about the food. And it's ridiculous to say to somebody who has 100 pounds to lose, it's not about the weight. No, it's about the weight. But if you stay here and you stay abstinent and you get to a normal weight and you get comfortable with eating abstinently, it's not about the food and it's not about the weight. And then you get into the real stuff, which is, what is it about? It's about, how do I find a way to live so that I don't have to go back to eating? And that's my goal every single day that I'm here. And hopefully every day for the rest of my life. I get up in the morning, I go, what do I do today? What do I have to do today to ensure that I won't eat today? And it's, you know, clearly it's doing my tools, you know, planning my food and doing my calls and talking to my sponsor, my sponsees, and writing and meetings. I still do lots of meetings. I do lots of service. I do all the tools because the program told me the tools are important. And I heard somebody early on say it's like a house of cards. And you don't know which card you pull out and the whole thing's going to come tumbling down. So you do them all. So I do them all. And you know, and so that's one way to ensure that I'm not going to eat today. But there are other ways that I have to ensure that I'm not going to eat today. And one is to abstain from the negative thinking, which I shared earlier, I really enjoy. But I can't afford it. It says in the book, I can't afford it. I mean, I got to leave that to people who can handle being angry or having resentment or feeling less than or greater than you. I can't afford it. So I have to not do those, even though I may enjoy them a lot, especially resentment. I really enjoy resentment, you know, just, I don't know, it just really gets the blood churning. But it's too high a price to pay for me, because if I have a resentment, there's a really good chance that I'm going to eat. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I'm going to eat at some point, and I don't want to. I really don't want to, so I have to do that. I have to let go of that. Well, as a result of letting go of resentment and letting go of the anger and staying out of of negative thinking, and people tease me all the time. They're like, oh, God, you're so positive. You know, and every time I tell you something, you say, look at something positive about it. It's like so annoying. And I said, well, it keeps me abstinent. You know, and I had a friend who said, you know, if the world is exploding, you're going to say, but look at the fireworks. And I'm like, yeah, because if the world is exploding, I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat over it. So I'm going to look at the fireworks. So it was training my brain, right? Because my wiring is different. It's just as a result of being an addict. Or I don't know if the wiring was different first, which made me an addict, or vice versa. I don't care. But I know my wiring is different. And so I have to retrain my brain. And they've even done studies on brains with addicts, and it is different than someone who's not addicted to substances. It is. And so I have to accept that as a truth as well. Half an hour? That was 30. Yeah, I'll wrap it up in the next 5 minutes or so. Yeah, okay. The truth is, I've been talking for 30 minutes, and it feels like 5 minutes. That always happens to me. You know, it's like a thing, I can't talk for 45 minutes. And then I'm like, I'm talking along, and they're like, 45 minutes? I'm like, no, I'm only on age four. But I'm going to wrap it up. So my goal every day is to figure out what I need to do to make sure that I don't eat today. I can't worry about tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but for today, I have to know, I have to be willing to do anything and everything that I have to stay abstinent. And like I said, that starts with the tools, but it's beyond that. It's also, I have to behave in a way that doesn't make me feel bad about myself. Because I eat over shame, I eat over guilt, I eat over self-loathing, I eat over all the things in my head where I say, you stupid idiot. I was constant, 24 hours a day, berating myself. And I can remember the day I was in the car, I was driving, and all of a sudden I realized I wasn't doing that. It was a shock. I couldn't believe it. It was quiet. It was like, wow. You know, but I have to not do things, which means I had to change my behavior. I had to stop being bitchy. I had to stop being judgmental. I had to stop telling you everything I think about you. You know, it's like, I can think whatever I want, but I don't have to tell you. And I don't have to tell her what I think about you. I don't have to do that. But you know what? When I do that, I feel bad about myself. And then when I feel bad about myself, I don't know about you, but immediately I want to eat. Right? So I had to change my behavior, and I had to do things differently, and I had to treat people differently, and I had to think about people differently, because one of my defenses, because I felt so bad about myself, was to think bad about you. And somehow, if I think bad about you, then I somehow feel better. Didn't really work. I had to eat over that, but that was one of my lies, right? That if I think bad about you, then I'm going to feel better about myself. That's a lie. That doesn't work, so don't try it. It doesn't work. I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. So I just had to think better about you. And that's not that easy for me because, you know, I have a lot of judgment. I have a lot of opinions, you know. But I'm so much better about that today. I love everybody. Now, that doesn't mean I like everybody, you know. And there are people who irritate me or there are people who push my buttons because I have a lot of buttons, okay. You know, my parents put these buttons in and I carry them with me and people push my buttons. And I have to sometimes say, she's not your mother. I'm like, oh, she's not my mother. Right. She's not pushing that button on purpose. You know, she's just doing her own thing. And, you know, and these are the things that I had to do to start to be able to act differently, to behave differently, and to live in the world differently. I would love, and I've said this numerous times, I would love to live by myself on an island with no people because I would not have a character defect in the world. But I tried that because for me, compulsively eating was living on an island by myself. I was locked in my apartment with food being delivered, with the phone off the hook, with nobody in my life. That was how I was living, and I was dying. So I can't do that. I have to live in the world with people, and I have to find a way to live in the world with people in a way that I don't have to hurt myself. And that was a whole new experience for me because I didn't know how to do that. So one of the big truths for me was that I'm a nice person. I really did not believe I was a nice person. And probably when I was in my disease, I didn't behave like a nice person because I was hurting. And what do we say? My husband's favorite saying, hurt people, hurt people. Right? Hurt people, hurt people. I was a hurt people. I was a hurt person. I was wounded. I was wounded from my childhood. I was wounded from the kids in school who tortured me because I was fat. I was wounded from all the horrible things people said to me. I remember my boss, I quit my job after I had 3 months of abstinence. I don't recommend it. But I quit my job because it was an abusive job. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was abusive, but it was abusive. And I went in and I quit my job and my boss stood up over me and he started banging his desk and he said, I can't believe, and I'm going to say a dirty word, I apologize. I can't believe you're fucking me like this. After everything I did for you, you're fat and you're ugly and you smell and I gave you a job and after all that, you're doing this to me. This is what he's screaming at me, right? And I had 3 months of abstinence and I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there going, why is he screaming at me? I mean, like I was so, like I didn't even understand what was happening. But all those things that people told me all over those years, you know, those things affected me. So I get in here and I start to love people instead of resenting people, hating people, and thinking everybody was my mother or my boss or the hypnotist or, you know, all these people who said horrible things to me that you can tell I remember word for word today. And these happened, a lot of them, a long time ago. So today I believe that I'm a good person and that I'm a nice person. Am I always nice? No. Mostly, but not always. But I am a nice person that sometimes behaves not nice, as opposed to a not nice person. And that's a big difference. And so when I start to feel better about myself, one of the big things that I had, I didn't wrap it up, did I? One of the big things, what? I'm sorry, I'm trying. You can't put me in a microphone. But one of the big things was, and I probably lost my train of thought at the moment, but anyway. So the main thing that I wanted to give, the main message was, because the truth is, with the amount of abstinence I have, when I talk, a lot of times people can't really relate. I know people relate more to someone with 30 days than they do with 26 years. Because when you're new, 26 years seems like that's not even possible. I don't even know what number that is. But somebody has 30 days? Wow. That's how I felt when I came in. It's like 30, how do you even do that? I can't even do 30 minutes. And so what can I share with you? And the main thing that I wanted, I hope I got across today, is that through working a program and staying abstinent and sticking it out, even through the hard times, you know, it's easy to stay abstinent when everything's going the way you want and everything's easy and you're all happy and all of that. But it's not so easy to stay abstinent when people are dying. Both my parents died while I was in abstinence. And, you know, I've had 26 years. I've had a lot of life happen. I've moved. I got married. My parents passed away. You know, lots of things happened in the years that I've been abstinent. And that's when abstinence is more precious. And you really have to take care of it. And so when those things happened, I did more meetings. And I did more phone calls. And when people would leave, like people would be abstinent. And then they say, bye, I'm leaving, I'm done. That would devastate me. And what would I do? I would do more program. I would do more. I'd have to intensify my program. Otherwise, I would say, you know what? I can do what they did, and I can go as well. So I really, the time is so valuable, because when it's out of the food and out of the, you know, the weighing and the weight and the worrying about that and worrying about what I look like, I have to tell you, I don't worry that much about what I look like. I worried a lot more when I was almost 300 pounds than I do today, because this is just who I am. This is just who I am. I don't have shame about it. I don't feel bad about it. I have little wobbly arms. Oh, well, you know, these are my war wounds. And you know what? It's okay. Because I'm okay. And I'm going to close with this. And I just want to say this to you. I went to a funeral, and the preacher up front said, I know this is a hard time, and I know it's going to be hard for you, and people are going to tell you you're going to be okay. I want to tell you, you are okay. And I get chills when I even think about it. And I want to tell you, you are okay. This is the truth. Stand in your truth. I stand in my truth. I am okay. I'm a good person today. I deserve to be on this planet. I used to think I didn't deserve to be here, and that I had to earn the right to live on this planet. I don't have to earn the right to be here. I deserve to be here. I'm a person among other people. And I don't, you know, and it's like, I don't have to pay my dues. I don't have to pay you. I used to pay people to be my friend. It's like, if you come with me, I'll pay. I don't even know how much money I spent begging people to be my friend, begging people to pay attention to me. I don't beg people anymore. If you want to be my friend, awesome. I love you. You don't want to be my friend, that's fine, you know? And that's because I have that foundation. So I just want to say thank you so much for having me come and speak. I appreciate it, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
See? Thank you, Ruth. I really appreciate your sharing. Thank you. All righty. I don't know if we have time. Do you want to do a couple minutes to share? We'll do 3-minute time shares until 10 or 11:40, and then we'll do the exercise that we did last year, if anybody remembers. We just stood and okay. So we'll open it up for 3-minute time shares. We have time, 10 minutes. Yeah, all time.
Hi, Melissa, compulsive eater. And Ruth, you've been just a blessing to me this morning. I really needed to hear all that today. And I've really been struggling with 3.5 years abstinent, and I've been really struggling because my stepdaughter's in eating disorder treatment, and they're teaching them moderation and have two of these little treats and just eat two, and all these exercises, and I'm sitting in all these groups, and I feel very attacked by the therapist, like saying, we don't teach, you know, that there's any bad foods. And then it made me question my whole program. And maybe it was my disease talking, like, hey, you can eat that too. You just need, you know, just mindful eating. And I did a lot of outreach and a lot of working with my sponsor and my sponsees and even confiding in my husband, like, I have to believe this program works. And every time I would hear when I started this program, every time I heard, oh, this nutritionist thinks it's the best plan she ever saw. It's healthy. Or a doctor. Or I see some show on TV about sugar. It's not good for you. It reinforces this idea that this program really works. And I know it works. And I feel healthy. And this fantasy that I'm doing it wrong. Or I had to break that. And I think once I realized in business acceptance, like, I did try mindful eating for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. It didn't work, and, you know, it didn't work for me. And if it works for someone else, that's wonderful. So for me, is this weekend has helped me so much. All of you, your strength and being here and agreeing that this is a healthy way to live. And the 12 steps, like, mindful eaters don't have these 12 steps. So I'm like, so I feel so blessed. And I can, like, be supportive and of other people's programs and still respect myself in my program, that I don't have to give up my program. And that's what I got today. And I just loved everything you had to say. It really hit home of why I'm here and giving me some fire to get back and to be more of service. Thanks.
I'm Rosa, a grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you so much for reminding me of what is my truth. Last year, the family decided to take a long vacation, a two-month vacation in Mexico, so they could stop me from coming to my meetings, to my convention. This year, the family took a decision to go to California 3 days before my convention, so I could not come because my mother-in-law was there, who came from Mexico, and she wanted to see me, and I was told that I was not coming to my convention. But you know what? I'm big. I'm big enough to stand for myself and to believe in my truth and say, you know what, you can go. I'm not going to stop you, but I'm going to my convention. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. I do service. I hide in my closet on the days I have to be those 4 or 5 hours in the meetings. I go to the park. I do what it takes to be part of this program because it's well worth it. I feel great. I love my program. And I am very grateful for all of you that you are here. And this is my truth. I'm energized. I am happy. And I'm going back to give good things to my family. Thank you.